I wonder, how might life have been different? Oh, hey. Have you ever had one of those what might have been moments? Moments when you looked back at your life and thought, what if? Mine involved Jesus of Nazareth. If you have a minute, let me tell you about it. I first encountered Jesus in Capernaum in my hometown. He was there teaching and doing miracles, and I was drawn to him. People were saying he was a prophet. People were saying he was a king. Some said he might be the Messiah. I didn't know, but I was young, and I wanted to be a part of whatever the next big thing was. And so when he left town, I grabbed a couple things and packed them up, and I headed out, followed him. That was brave, wasn't it? Not everybody would have done that. I can't tell you for sure what drew me mostly to Jesus. He demonstrated a compassion that I hadn't seen before. He had the ability to see beyond labels, to see people, to make people feel like they were loved. And of course, there was the power. How could you not be attracted to the miracles he was doing? Healing the sick, driving out the demons, caring for people, feeding people. How could you not want to be a part of that? But when he taught, there was something different and amazing. When he talked about God, it was like he knew what he was talking about. You just could tell that God was present when he was teaching and when he was talking. He's the best teacher I've ever heard. And I could have just sat and listened to him and thought, wow. What an amazing message he had. And so for several months I followed him. I was there in the crowds as the crowds were growing and Jesus was going from place to place, doing miracles, teaching. I was part of the crowd. It wasn't easy. He didn't stay anywhere very long. He'd go from place to place, teaching about God, talking about the kingdom of God being near, doing miracles, spending time with people, including some of those folks good people know not to hang out with. And then every so often he'd go off to pray, he said, but we'd find him. And sometimes he'd take the 12 and go off and try to teach just them. And the rest of us weren't so sure we liked that because sometimes they were kind of pompous and they thought highly of themselves because they were the 12. But we kept following. Going where he went, staying on the move, waiting to see what was next, trying to figure out who this was and what he was doing. Not everybody was happy, of course. The religious leaders, they didn't like Jesus at all. He kept doing things that broke their rules. They kept trying to come trap him and trick him, and he seemed to outsmart them every time. They thought they had a trap laid out for him. And then when he looked at someone and said, your sins are forgiven, they about went nuts. Because only God can forgive sins. And who's Jesus to speak words of forgiveness? And then he talked about being the Son of God. I knew things weren't going to end well at that point. And then, of course, his disciples, the 12, didn't always do things right either. I heard them on a couple of occasions arguing over which of them was going to be most important. Jesus was not happy over that. But still, I was following. I was trying to make sense of this, trying to figure it out. And then one day, everything changed. I had a friend with me who was on the fringes, walking, following, amazed by Jesus. And he came up to Jesus one day and he said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And I was impressed. I was still trying to figure out how far I was willing to go for this Jesus. And Jesus didn't seem quite as impressed. He looked back at the man and said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." I wasn't quite sure what he meant. He said some things that confused me sometimes. And as I was standing there trying to figure out what in the world Jesus was saying, I looked around and there was my brother. My brother had come to find me and to tell me that my father was not in good health and was probably dying soon and I needed to come home. I was the oldest. It was my responsibility. I needed to go home. I hated to leave Jesus, but surely Jesus would understand. These are the things you're supposed to do. Honor your father and mother. Do the things you're expected to do. And so as I was processing this and trying to figure out what to do and feeling sad that I needed to leave, Jesus looked me in the eye. Me. He looked me in the eye and he said, "Follow me." And I couldn't believe it. He said to me, "Follow me." And I got excited and I thought, he wants me to be part of this. He wants me to go with him. And I was all ready to say, "Of course." And then I looked over and I caught my brother's eye. Oh no. My father was dying. I had to go. Jesus would understand, wouldn't he? And so I said to him, "First, let me go and bury my father, and then I'll come follow you." And Jesus looked back at me. He said, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." What? He'd been so compassionate, so kind. Let the dead bury their own dead. Did he not understand my responsibility? Did he not understand that I had to go do this? He was forcing me to make a choice I didn't think I could make. I would have made a great disciple. I would have given him everything. I would have done wonderful things, but I had to go take care of my father. Surely he would understand. And then somebody else in the crowd said, "First, let me go and say goodbye to my family." And he said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus was asking a lot, wasn't he? You understand, right? I had to go home, and I did. I did what I felt like I had to do. I went home. And I had planned to come back. I knew it wouldn't be long. I'd be back. I'd jump right in. I'd say, "Jesus, see, I told you I came back. I'm ready now." But you know how life goes. We were glad my father actually hung on longer than we'd expected. So we got some time with him. And then my brothers needed help in the vineyard. So I stayed to help. And I kept meaning to go back, but then I kind of lost energy and got distracted and other things seemed more important. And then I heard that Jesus went into Jerusalem and they killed him. I don't know why he did that. He should have known better than that. They were out to get him. Why did he go to Jerusalem? And I thought to myself, well, I did what I had to do. I did feel a little better when I heard that even some of the closest followers bailed on him too. Some of the 12 ran away. And even Peter who seemed to be the spokesman, I heard, denied Jesus 3 different times. So in the end, I don't know that Jesus had a whole lot of folks left with him. And it had seemed so promising, so hopeful. And it ended like that. And I wonder how he felt that his followers abandoned him. I mean, he was asking an awful lot of people. Did he really expect people to follow him to death? I heard he saw one rich man and told him, go sell all you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me. How could anybody do that? Isn't that asking too much? A little while later, I heard that stories that Jesus had come back to life. I don't normally believe things like that, but I wonder. What was interesting to watch is in the days after that, folks who claimed to know Jesus began to get really excited about what God was doing in the world. And they began to preach and proclaim that Jesus was raised from the dead and that God is at work in our midst. And I began to watch and pockets of people who were followers of Jesus began to pop up in towns around the area. I think they call them churches. And even Peter, after failing so miserably, became a powerful preacher of grace and talking about how this was the fulfillment of everything God had done and everything God had planned. And now I sit back, years later, wondering, what if? What might have been different if I had stayed? One of those, I think they call themselves Christians, was talking to me last week. I told him that I knew Jesus. I had followed him up till it got to be a little unreasonable. And this guy told me, he said, God still loves you. You can be forgiven. Jesus offers grace. There's always a chance to start over again. If you're willing now to leave behind whatever keeps you from following Jesus. He told me Jesus had said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And he said, if you're willing to let go of that which you think you have to have, if you're willing to let Jesus be in control of your life, you can be a Christian. You can be filled with the power of His Spirit. You can live a new life. But I've got a life now. I've got a family. I've got responsibilities. I have things to do. I'm just not sure. I'm willing to give it up to follow Jesus. What would you do? How much are you willing to give up to follow Jesus? He asked me, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Even now, I'm told I have a choice to make. Am I willing to follow Jesus, even when it costs? What would you have done if you had been in my place? What would you have been willing to leave behind if Jesus said, follow me? Even now, Could you have left it all behind to follow Jesus? Would you?
Let us pray. What if? What might have been different? What might be different? Lord, like all of your disciples, through the ages, we long to follow you. Yet it is difficult. So many things lay claim to our time, to our attention, to our lives. We struggle. We don't know if we can let go and truly follow. And yet following comes down to a choice. What will we choose? Search our hearts, speak to our spirits, help us to choose you, to be dependable disciples, faithful followers. Who choose you every time. Amen.